JG3.
Number 3B.
All right, so those were real good responses to the question of why we like then that term science itself, on the level of science itself, because it's really, as we've seen now, it's supra-scientific. The P-R-A makes it above science, and it's irrational, it's beyond rationality. It's in its own realm of just, you could say rationality being its own infinite rationality is really something which is irrational. So, and yet that being operates very mathematically. You'll see that Mrs. Eddy says there that this principle is working, she says that it, spiritual science, which operates with mathematical certainty, in page 108, 13. So it is, because we say it's beyond science, it's supra-scientific and irrational, doesn't mean it doesn't operate rationally or it doesn't operate logically. It does, but it just is. It's just the what is. It's just the being. That's how it expresses itself. It doesn't have to think about it or to learn itself. All right, so now we come here to this tone of principle itself. Why would we, again, we have the itself, and as Gail said, that maintains the integrity of the level because it's itself being its own infinite self, really, as we'll see, as a gestalt, as an undivided, indivisible whole. But now, why just the term principle on this level? As we know, we see on that level, it's just the term infinite principle, or we call it principle itself. Why isn't it mind on that level? Infinite mind itself, or infinite spirit itself, or infinite soul itself, or a combination of infinite mind, spirit, and soul, or a combination of infinite life, truth, and love. Why is there just the symbol of infinite principle on that level, a principle which is itself? All right, good. Good. You both wanted to say the same thing. That's very good. Therefore, that principle includes all, contains all. That's right. So we saw that, didn't we, from the definition of principle with P-R-I-N-C-I-P-L-E, is therefore a fundamental truth, a comprehensive principle, isn't it? It's a principle that includes all other principles. Really, it's the science that includes all sciences. It's a principle that includes all principles. It's the law that includes all laws. We will see there when we do the exercise of the law on this level that it's really that law of the matrix of infinity, that law of the womb of being from which everything comes forward, you see. So, therefore, it is that principle that contains everything, and that Mrs. Eddy said then that that principle includes them all, meaning all the synonymous terms, didn't she? All right, so we're happy with that. Now we come then to the tonality for that level of the infinite capital one. Do we like the term infinite? What would infinite mean at this point? How would we look at infinite on the level of a science itself? Isness, okay. And by isness, Eleanor, we mean what? Free of? Okay, error is unknown, evil is unknown, all right. And isness is what kind of a sense? It's now, and now is a kind of a sense. What is a now sense? Timeless. It's a timeless sense, isn't it? Isness is a timeless space where there's neither a beginning or an ending. It's free of time and space. So infinite itself means, when we look it up, doesn't it? Boundless. It's not circumscribed. by any limitations. It's infinite. It's when we look it up in Webster, it means no time, because God is infinite in duration, meaning neither beginning nor ending, it says. Webster says that it is without space, because God is infinite, omnipresent. And it says it's infinite, without quality and quantity, meaning that God is infinite perfection, and really that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. So we know that that sense of infinite really means that it's without limits in any way. Though some terms are meaning are relational, some terms you can use on every level, and they take on another form as long as we maintain the tonality of the level. But here, infinite just means it's not limited, it's not bound, it's without limits, it's without time and space. Yes, it is. Okay? I'm not sure if I'll remember to say this on the divine science level, but I might sneak down there. What would infinite be on the divine science level? Sometimes comparison is good. How would we explain it there? As a straight line? What is it here? Is it a straight line on the science level? That we start here and we go infinite in that way? How would you describe it? All right. It encompasses all. That's good, Richard. She says that it's that all-inclusive creation is the emanation of its infinite self-containment. So it encompasses all. It's holistic. Nothing is outside of it, is it? So is that something that is an infinite self-containment and nothing outside it? This? It's a sphere? And is it just a sphere? When you have a law of infinite self-reflection? No, it's center and circumference. It's a sphere, but are we happy with just a sphere as a symbol on that level for infinite? Miriam's doing this at me. It's spiraling, isn't it? Through its law of self-reflection, isn't it? Capital self-reflecting. So when that infinite is always restructuring itself, the circle we'll see becomes a spiral, doesn't it? Okay. Now on that divine science, I'm not sure if I'll remember to talk about it in relationship to infinite, so we'll do it here. On divine science, what is the concept of infinite? What would it be based on there? Is it again a straight line? No. What would it be? Oh, good. And what do we call that, Mary Jane, one of these? Good. Now, that's good. Janice says a loop. So it's a feedback system loop, huh? Closed loop. It's a closed system because of the feedback, and therefore the rule of that level is... the cybernetic rule is input, process, output, and feedback. As I mentioned, I think last evening, Paul Davies said that the fundamental rule of the universe is input, process, output, and feedback. Everything runs on an immaterial feedback. So we would think much more of infinity as a 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. The 4 becomes the 1 again, doesn't it? Through feedback. But then it... tends to have, that loop tends to have a sense of spiraling. Okay. So infinity doesn't mean a straight line. It seems to us more, as Richard said, infinite self-containment within the whole. It's more like a sphere, but because of the law of self-reflecting, it seems to be spiraling. All right. So now we have these terms of the only indivisible whole, integral. So are we happy with the term only up there? Does that have a bit of the tonality? Mm-hmm. Because only means itself. Again, when we look it up, it means by itself, one alone. It also means above all others. That has that tonality, doesn't it? And it means supra. Only has the prefix supra. Above, supra, meaning above, over, beyond. another form of super, but it even is a bit better supra. So anyhow, only signifies supra above all others. So it's the only one or the only being or the only, if we use it alone, we often capitalize it, the only, because it's on the science level referring to God. It's an indivisible whole. We've often capitalized whole there too, because it refers to God. And we like the term now whole, don't we? Because a whole is irreducible to the sum of its parts. In indivisible, do we like indivisible? Because a whole is irreducible to the sum of its parts. Okay. In integral, what does integral mean? Cohesive, all right, yeah, it's integral, has that sense of cohesive. And when it's cohesive, what does it make? Totally integrated. So you hear that these are all holistic terms, that it is a whole, which is cohesive, totally integrated, that's right, undivided, again, it's entire. These are all good. Also, when you look up integral, it says, see, supra. So it also has that sense of being complete within itself, an undivided quantity in math. It's a whole number or undivided quantity. So it's a nice term, integral, for this level. Good, self-operating. All right, then if we look at this level, then from the standpoint of practice, we would say then, for how do we look at the pattern of life on this level? Is death brought into that pattern of reality? No. If an illusion is just a pattern, not seen, a pattern seen in its reverse, does the reversal of the pattern occur on this level? No, Bill, because being is its own infinite being. It's only itself. There's no reversal of the pattern. You could say the pattern is being its own infinite pattern, you see. Just that own infinite on that level of science itself keeps it within itself, doesn't it? So we say therefore that life is being its own infinite life. Therefore, it's a pattern that cannot be reversed. So it's just the I am being its own infinite life, or life being its own infinite life. Death is unknown. The reversal is unknown. Therefore, evil is unknown. Matter is unknown. Healing, well, we're always dealing with the whole. If we mean by healing whole, a state of being whole, well, it's whole, but nothing needs to be healed. Problems are unknown. Of course, that term problems is a problem because we take it negatively, don't we? But a problem doesn't... Oh, somebody was this close was telling me that they talked to somebody that problem was an opportunity. Somebody here telling me that? Yeah, well, that was good, Jean, in the other class, maybe. Problem is an opportunity, but you also said something else besides opportunity. It was another... Privilege. A problem is a privilege. But we already know in absolute Christian science, it's a positive problem, a positive opportunity. On this level, there are many opportunities, aren't they? If a problem doesn't have, it's too bad it has a negative connotation, because being always is, it's not solving problems, but it is experiencing these infinite opportunities, so to speak. Are these infinite privileges, but because it has a negative connotation, we would say it's unknown. So the demonstration is always itself, yes? Yeah. Yes. No. A problem doesn't always have to be corrected, does it? If you're building a bridge, no. But but it does have a connotation that it needs to be corrected. But on the absolute Christian science, it's a opportunity to build a bridge. It always stays within its positive value. An artist has these many positive problems, many opportunities to express itself. And so on, being has many opportunities. Okay, but it's true. It has that negative connotation. Yeah. Uh-huh. What one? If it's solving being its own infinite solving. See, meaning is relational. One can use a term pretty much sometimes on the levels if we stay within the tonality of the level. Being isn't solving anything to itself, but through its own inner mathematical logic, it is solving being. But not, it doesn't have to be solved, but it is, it's proving itself, it's demonstrating itself, it's solving itself, it's doing all that, but there's no negative connotation. And it doesn't have to do it to itself to know itself. It's a state of expressing itself, expressing itself through a law of infinite self-reflection. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely an activity going on.
Also, going back to death, if death was something that was an issue here, that this would have to experience.
Yes.
And that contradicts the life that I am.
Yes.
Life without a past or a future, etc. I am life. Therefore, I can't experience death.
That's right.
Also, with the problem sense, either with the positive or the negative, I have everything that I need that I within me. I don't have to get from here to there, build a bridge.
No. No, but there is an activity going on. And its principle being its own infinite principle isn't just a blob being its own infinite blob. There's a connotation of something is really going on that level. And so we have to allow for that activity to occur. It's doing something. And it's hard. This is where language gets difficult because of our negative connotation. But there's a terrific activity going on there. Whatever we want to call it. Yes, it's free of death and evil and matter and healing and the solving of negative problems. But that demonstration of itself is really incredible. Okay, well, that's very good. And we will talk about the last column in a bit because it's a question that we ask specifically to the last column. All right, that's good. So let's go on and build up our tonality of divine science. Oh, good. Okay. Now, once we come to another level, just the same as it was when we studied the synonymous terms, when we came from mind to spirit, we always ask, why is spirit second, not first? Why is spirit second, not fifth or sixth or seventh? So we say, now, why is the level of divine science called as it is divine? Why that terminology divine? If we see that we have this infinite one, this infinite holistic being that cannot be divided, what are we doing with these levels? We now know that being doesn't need to explain itself to itself, therefore it doesn't need dimensions or levels of explanation. It doesn't need this hierarchical structure that we get. This becomes a hierarchical structure. If we stay just on the level of science itself, we'll see that it becomes a nested hierarchy of wheels within wheels of activity going on. It never becomes what looks like a nested hierarchy in a book called Evolving Hierarchical Structures, and I'll show you the photo of it, and you've seen it before. It's just a circle. A nested hierarchy is a circle with circles within circles within circles, something like that infinite being is just spiraling higher and higher from a boundless basis. But when that infinite circle, when that being its own infinite being, and the law being its own infinite law, and the nature of the law being mind being its own infinite mind, and spirit being its own infinite spirit, and soul being its own infinite soul, and principle being its own infinite principle. When that inner nature of mind, which is the all-intelligent mind, or that inner nature of spirit, which is the purity of spirit, or the inner nature of soul, where identity is where subject and object is one, and that inner nature of principle demonstrating itself through integrity and honesty within itself, and life that knows no death, truth that knows no error, love that knows imperfection. When that inner integrity of God being its own infinite God, when those laws come to, those laws want to bring out themselves. Mind is being its own infinite mind. It's reflecting itself, isn't it? When it doesn't find congruency with its being its own infinite self, and there's no, and there becomes a split between subject and object, and mind is being its own infinite mind. The subject and object is one. But when that subject, for example, the intelligence of mind, is being its own infinite, it doesn't get a feedback of intelligence. It's getting a feedback of ignorance. And in that specific situation, it wants intelligence. It's got to reflect itself. Life has to reflect life. When it doesn't, all simultaneously, that law comes right down through the Christ idea to the Christian Science level. It makes that situation like itself, so it can reflect itself as life being its own infinite life. That's why it's a self-operating, self-seeking law. And this is what's interesting that we get from Paul Davies when he says that there's two points. There's the law and the state. And the state doesn't have to inform the law of its condition. The law operates to heal the state, you see. So we see that law it doesn't know anything but itself, and it only wants to reflect itself. If it doesn't get the congruency instantaneously, simultaneously, non-linearly, and from divine origin, it looks like it becomes a control hierarchy that begins to come down, touch where that incongruency is, that where it doesn't find like itself, retranslates it out and brings it right back to like itself, and that's done like that. But to us, it looks like that, doesn't it? Like 7,000 year periods to get principles, congruency in the universe, including man. That means, when Mrs. Eddy said it looks like it's dealing with a stubborn human will. It's incredible, the tenacity of air. This is why I like the law of Nahum, where it says that in the minor prophets, the Christianity has the word tone, where it shows that principle God comes to human consciousness and retranslates out the belief that error has more power than truth, that error is more tenacious than the truth. That's what it seems to be. That why doesn't consciousness yield? You know, it's a great question. Why the tenacity? What do we think in consciousness is so great about life in and of matter that brings death? I never could quite figure it out. Death was always out there, and I thought, you know, we all have the same thoughts, and in philosophy they struggled with it forever. But that was always a phenomenon that I just couldn't. You couldn't live, drink, and be merry in this world, so to speak, and for tomorrow you die and accept it. Because death to me was always the weirdest, unusual thing I ever saw in my whole life. It was just plain dumb ever since I was little, probably because I was raised in Christian Science. I never could accept it. And then always today when Christian Science say, oh, isn't it lovely, they passed on. Now, they got to be about 87 years old, and it was time for the dear sweet thing to go on. Isn't that precious sweet thing is now with the Lord? When Mrs. Eddy said disease is a false claim to be overcome, death is a false claim to be overcome, old age is a false claim to be overcome, we shouldn't acknowledge or accept any belief that we are born in matter, live in matter, grow older matter, or die out of matter. And this is where we learn even that sense of death on the level of principle at the 4,000 year period with King David. You know that Saul was doing all these tricks on David after he became king, always trying to do these nasty little tricks behind his back, and David had to run in from one enemy camp to another, into one cave after another, to get rid of this Saul, because he didn't want to get rid of Saul. He knew that we tend the regulator, and God gets after us for trying to adjust what he adjusts. And David said, the problem is God's. And that's why as a shepherd boy, David didn't kill Goliath. It was a rock in the sling. It was a calculus in the self-operating system that killed Goliath, the intellectual in the head. David didn't do it. The system did. He said, the battle is the Lord's. The Lord will avenge me of thee. He wasn't going to touch Saul. And we certainly learned that from the first record of creation and the second record of creation. In the second record of creation, it said, the Lord will avenge thee sevenfold, anybody killing Cain. When Cain killed Abel, the moral, Cain was not to be touched. Otherwise, we'd get sevenfold vengeance for touching Cain. Meaning that it's God's perfect law of adjustment, that he gets after us for trying to adjust what he adjusts. And David knew that in the self-operating system, as John Dorley said, you give a Judas enough rope, it hangs itself. That we should not tend the regulators of mankind, but we should let God adjust what he adjusts. It's a hard lesson to learn, but it means that the Christ is presenting what it is as idea, as an ideational universe, ideational earth, an ideational all mankind, and mankind is allowed to go through their Christ experience. That's why legislating morality is a very, very dangerous thing. Because how can we tell somebody that you can't have that experience when it's a circumstance that entertains an angel unaware, Mrs. Eddy said. We cannot say to somebody that you can't do this. Now, of course, as parents, one always has our sense of morality, and we know we have the right to state our morality, and always, Mrs. Eddy said, we should act out from our highest sense of good. But all parents know they come at a time when they're bumping their head up against a solid brick wall, and it's just as if it's not being heard. We have the right to stand up for our highest principles, but there's a time we have to turn the whole thing over to the parent mind Christ idea and let the Christ idea take over in most situations in our life. So this sense is that's where the self-righteous don't get into heaven, as Jesus said, because they're always judging. You're right, I'm wrong. And we don't know, as I said, she says that love has an angel in the situation. So therefore, that's the whole point of that self-adjusting of the principle, isn't it? It does it itself. All right, I'm not quite sure where we got off, but it was important. Oh, divine science. Why divine science? That principle doesn't stay up within its own realm, that law comes down into divine science and absolute Christian science and Christian science. The nested hierarchy becomes a hierarchical structure, doesn't it? A control hierarchy in order to bring everything back to the nested hierarchy, to bring it back to the nest. You see, the parents want to bring all the children back to the nest, you see. Well, so does God. The infinite father mother wants to bring us all back to the one womb, so to speak.